I'm glad I can't, so I get it rolling and tell you the story as it went, how it was. And they all be so, you understand, I guess half the shit would sound unbelievable to a motherfucker, so I guess I would find, if I didn't live it, I'd have thought it was unbelievable myself.
Well,
half the shit I seen done, I wouldn't have believed a motherfucker tell me niggas was smuggling out of Thailand.
Except for,
you gotta hype
all
across
wait a minute,
you gotta hype that kind of
if it was not coming from a guy whose father was in Ebony magazine.
You got some scissors.
Look, man, yes, I do. You lucky. It might be, yes, but we have done more than an adequate job of harming the natives. You can look in our comments section.
View this shit.
Well, I can't remember to tell you the story I was done. You know, now if you want something extra, go to Hollywood and let them add the extras for you. So I kind of got, like I told you, it was about 20 pounds the first one.
So the second, where did you go with? I mean, you know when you say you hit the streets.
Right.
So are you only here in Detroit or is this
that
going on?
Okay. This is how it went. I'm going to explain to you everything how it went.
You went to different states, correct?
No, not at that point.
He'll get to Mr. Pep.
Pep is only motherfucker running, and then we had some people in Kansas City. Them was at
that
time. The only two motherfuckers was in Kansas City and Pep. Everything else was being ran in Detroit.
So how was the dope coming in, dude?
Through Thailand.
Was it coming straight here, or?
No, people swallowed it.
I'm saying, did you have to go to New York? Was the hub?
No. It was a church group. And they would book a church activity to go to Thailand. And all these were professional swallowers. And each person would swallow two keys or better. So all the dope was always pure China White, 90%. So we never purchased narcotics in the city of Detroit. That was unheard of. The only person I can tell you we ever got dope from in the city of Detroit was the Eastern Market crew, Old Man Simon and Fat Joe. And Fat Joe's wife wound up killing him. The only package we ever got in the city of Detroit came from the Eastern Market crew.
Okay, but
that's it.
Run it back. All right, so you say y'all pick up Pops February. He come on. You out to join.
All right,
you say y'all have family dinner. You say day two.
So how day two went was really motherfuckers paying panache. Everybody, when Pops went around, everybody throwing 500, 600, 200 Milwaukee Jag tractors. All them, it's customary when a motherfucker come home from penitentiary that everybody throw him something.
Yeah.
All the players and all the motherfuckers getting money.
Yeah.
So that's customary how it's really done. So that was the second day. We was going around collecting all the street dudes and motherfuckers just throwing you that type of thing.
Paying homage.
Right. Because we already got the motherfucker packets in the thing to see who gonna give and who gonna look out and show how big they heart was. So when the package dropped, which is already in the slot, we'll see how big our heart be to them. You understand? Yeah. If you ain't have a motherfucking thing to give us, we walked home, you couldn't say, man, nigga, here go 300, 400, five or two or whatever the fuck your heart had to give. Okay.
Day three, you was going to find out why you should have been more generous.
You wouldn't believe a motherfucker would hit the motherfucker's ground that quick with that kind of product instantly.
So you
from
said
day one.
Marion Wayfield
was a true smuggler.
And they already had the bag.
Marion was leading the group of the 20 people who was going to Thailand and swallowing. Okay,
that was
now,
his thing.
Say this again?
He was a smuggler, basically.
Right, that was his thing. He was
really
a professional.
He wasn't out there putting it in the streets like that.
As well, he was doing that, too. But at this particular point, he was smuggling. And when he came home, all the old niggas in the street, like I'm telling you, all the niggas are gay, all the niggas bought something and ran off with something, pretty much. So he was at a point of niggas might have spent $100,000, but goddammit, they ran off with $100,000, too. So, yeah, you made $100,000, but goddamn, you gave $100,000 worth of credit that ain't coming in. So, by chance, when my father was in jail, the last 2 years that he was in jail, he told me to call Treacherous up and tell Treacherous he needed a quarter, meaning a quarter of weed, which we was going to have smuggled into the penitentiary. But when Treacherous came, he bought me a quarter of heroin. Now, this is tricky. This is where all the shit got fun at. Coming up, my Aunt Lisa Murphy was kicking it with Tracy Sledge, who was my nigga at that time. Tracy could do no wrong, okay? This how much I love Tracy. From a kid, when the first time I ever met Tracy, he was with Raymond Peoples. They was in a blue 450 Benz with the knockoffs and shit, and Tracy was coming to work at the factory across the street from where my grandmother lived. We was all sitting on the front porch. Like I say, Raymond Peoples was in the Benz, and they had on big ropes and shit, and that lunchtime, Tracy started hollering at my Aunt Lisa. And so happened they clicked up and got together. So Tracy became, instantly, he was a young boy from day one. What happened with Tracy Sledge was he said he was working for Raymond Peoples. And at that time, they used to hide the goddamn dope in the glove box and then lock the glove box. So when the police stopped him, the goddamn glove box locked. So automatically, the police gonna want to open it. When the police open or rip the bulb and says, you got a gun and dope, Tracy's job was to take the case for Raymond because Raymond was the man. So this is how Tracy wound up working at the factory across from my mother's house.
And we are, to be clear, we talking about Raymond Peoples, one of the founders of Young Boys.
Him and Block. Those are the two that Tracy Sledge said started the motherfucking Young Boys, was Block and Raymond Peoples. Now, where this Butch Jones shit come in, I don't know. But we going to move past that because this ain't a Young Boy story. But this is how it went. Anyway, by Tracy being at the factory, Tracy started dating Lisa. So Tracy was like, we used to shoot dice and gamble and shit when we was young. So we used to go to the drive-in in Tracy's car and everything. He was older, family had a little money. They had a bowling alley over on Wyoming. They was, well-to-do. Lived on Leslie. They did good. So, I'm hanging with Tracy from the time I'm maybe 10 years old till my father get out of jail. The last 2 years, as I was telling you, Treacherous gave me 7 grams of dope, maybe every month and a half for 2 years straight. Now, I would give the dope to Tracy. Tracy would give me $1,500 for 7 grams. A quarter of weed costed $450. So I would buy the quarter of weed, put it in the balloons, smuggle it into the jail. Now I'm keeping an extra motherfucking $10.50 for myself, and I stayed top 10 out. Because I'm hanging with Tracy, them the top 10. They was at that time, they called them 60s. The 60s. So I kept 60s because, and how Tracy was getting rid of it, because now Tracy is working at the factory. But at this time, Gene Hackman, Hacky, was our man too. You understand? Gene Hackman was working for Maurice Bell, who was Butch Jones's nephew, who Mo was getting good. He was getting it then. You know, Mo was riding all the new Benzes. Mo was the man. So, you know, at certain times, you'd see Mo and Mo throw a nigga something or something. But anyway, Gene Hackman is running his bag, maybe 100 bundles a day for him. So we was getting the dope from Treacherous. We'd hook it up and get Gene to slip it into their bundles. And Gene was moving the shit in the day. But what started to happen was our dope was better that I was getting from Treacherous than what Butch and them was selling. So motherfuckers started realizing, I want that one. You understand? Which only Gene knew what that one motherfucking meant, because he was the only one knew that it was another brand of dope in there. So I'm running this through them. I'm about 12 years old at the most. I'm getting 7 grams every motherfucking two, every about a month and a half. Treacherous is hitting me up, and the dope was classic. So they started asking me, they want to buy some. Damn, now I was getting it free, so I really couldn't get nothing for them to buy. I think you understand?
Did Brett come in here yet? Is Brett
right here? Brett's not in there yet.
Not yet.
Brett's
okay,
down front. Brett's not in there yet. So where was I at?
You say you got Hacky now running the... Hacky is...
running the bundles. Okay. So now Gene is running the bundles from the dope that Treacherous has been giving me for 2 years that my father is in jail. I'm 12 years old. I'm getting 7 grams every month and a half. I'm getting $1,500 for that.
How much was that worth at the time?
$1,500. I was getting $1,500 from Tracy Sledge for 7 grams. Okay. And Gene was making it up. They was hitting it, making it up in bundles, slipping it into mold shit because Gene was running the goddamn bundles every day. He was running the spot. So it was perfect for us because Gene could get rid of it quick in a day.
So you were clearing for yourself a Gene.
$1,500. I took $450 and go to Jerry Hobbs. Jerry Hobbs had Ty Stick, right, being the best weed in the goddamn city. So I would always go to Jerry Hobbs and get a quarter of tie stick, which it was a motherfucker. Jerry Hobbs at that time, that's the only weed I smoked was from Jerry Hobbs. I'd wait till 4 o'clock, whenever the fuck he opened, I'm waiting on Jerry Hobbs, you understand? So his weed was classic. I'm talking about classic.
And he was selling you that for $4.50.
A quarter.
So you cleared in your pocket.
$10.50, that's what I'm telling you. Now, my father don't know nothing about this. This went on for 2 years. The last 2 years he was in Milan. This went on. I'm taking my father the weed, so my father is assuming that Treacherous is giving me 4 ounces of weed and not 7 grams of dope. But it turned out I'm getting 7 grams of dope and buying the 4 grams of weed because I'm fucking with the young boys, and you know they got access to the best of everything, and I got the dope. So instantly, I'm in the clique. So Gene Hackman was really the first motherfucker that, you know, was smooth with me as far as them. Because he was moving out bundles. I was getting my $1,500 and they was looking for more dope. So anyway, now fast forward to when my father get out of jail. He done gave his $100,000 worth of credit away in making $100,000. So Mr. White came over to the house one day. Me and Mr. Brown, Courtney Brown Jr., Mr. Big Boss Phil. Me and him was out hanging, drinking motherfucking Bellagio. I was mixing my shit with mescaline. He was drinking straight Bellagio and snorting cane. But anyway, that's how I was doing, you understand? So we hanging all day, right? Bella, money spinning, we jumping. Pops and Treacherous was at the house talking at the kitchen table before we left. So when I dropped Junior, they was living at Pinehurst at that time. I dropped Junior off on Pinehurst, and we was living at an old park on Gardner. Slid to the house. I walked in the house feeling good, you know, and Pops just looked at me and said, "Hey, Eddie, let me ask you this. How you get rid of all that dope Treacherous gave you for the last 2 years?" I was fucked up, like, goddamn, cut, you understand?
I'm the chauffeur. Like,
tell him how he looked at it, tell how he told on me, tell him 10 up to 9, 8.
He'll get to that.
Yeah, another guy. This motherfucker
told. Junior was the driver. Junior was the driver. Yeah, yeah. I was a driver. Look, man.
Who would break?
He was getting your brownie
coin. He know who would break.
What I'm gonna do when the big man asks me a question? But tell that man. The big man gonna ask me what happened with the car. What the hell I'm gonna do but tell that man what the hell happened? Your son, Eddie Jr., did tow up Vane's car. That's
what I'm gonna try to do. After he asked me that question, and it fucked me up, I told him the truth. I said, "Hey, Tracy was getting rid of this shit for me. And they wanna know, can they get some motherfucking action now?" And he said, "That's kind of what the fuck I wanted to know." So the next day, I went and told Tracy, "Tracy, you can get some action now." Because they had all along been asking me for action because I was, like, I was handling the bag. So I took a quarter and just gave him a motherfucker. Yes. Man, he ain't gonna sell grams, fuck it. So he knew what the dope was, so they was ready, you know what I mean? So when the fat man okayed it, fuck it. The rest of these niggas is fucking up. They owe me money. They done fucked me. Bring the boy on over here if he wants some action in here, a real one. He can get some action. So Tracy was hustling, but he was working. He wasn't really hustling like Pep. James Cooper. James Cooper is who Tracy said we should get an action to. So Tracy Sledge picked
who Pep. Lives across, they live across the street from each other, right?
And Leslie. Both of them live across the street from one another. And Tracy said, take Pep. So at this time, Brett was Pep's partner. And Brett Hackman went to jail at that time.
God rest his soul.
And God rest his soul. Let's give a shout out to Brother Brett. Truly a shout out to Brother Brett. Peace, rest in peace. All praises be to Allah for him. And at this time, Brett went to jail. So to get the connect, Pops asked Pep when he came up to the house in Oak Park. When me and Tracy got him, me, Tracy, and Pep rolled out to the house. Pep came in, met the fat man. He said, "How much money can you got come up?" Pep said, "I might be able to come up with $15,000, $20,000 maybe." So Pep went and sold everything he had. His cars, his jewelry, everything he had. I'll never forget it. Pep went and sold everything he had and came back with that money. Told the fat man, "This is what I could get." The fat man gave him 50 motherfucking quarters. Told him, "You give me $50,000.
How much each quarter go for?
At that time, we were selling really, he gave Pep 50 quarters, but we was doing ounces for $8,500 an ounce. So really,
how much is
$8,500 an ounce? So that's about $2,100 a quarter.
No, Pep's ticket was $50,000. He made $100,000. The package cost Pep $50,000. Mm-hmm. All I can tell you is what the package cost him. Right. And the package cost him $50,000. So you figure out what it was from there. But the package was $50,000. Pep took the package at that point. He asked my father before he left, he said, would you mind if I took this package to Boston? And the fat man said, I don't give a fuck where you take it, as long as I get paid. You can take that motherfucker anywhere in this world. I don't give a fuck where you take it. Just bring me my money as quick as you can, as quick as you get it. And Pep said, I'm going to Boston. And goddamn, he said, good luck. Go on, young man, to Boston and goddamn bring my money back. And that was it. Pep took 2 weeks to bring $50,000 back. From then on, Pep was on. Now, at the same time that happened.
So when you hear Ray Benzino and them guys from Boston talking about Pep and him bringing the work from Detroit, that's what they talking about.
Straight out of Thailand. You understand? That wasn't from Detroit. It came from niggas in Detroit, right, meaning Eddie Jackson, but the dope came from Thailand.
Okay.
It speaks for itself.
Was in Detroit.
Well, the niggas who was getting it was in Detroit, but the actual product was in Thailand. So what they liked was coming from Thailand, that motherfucker kind of white.
So it took
hey, he named the blow Skag on the goddamn streets. That was the name of the blow at that time. The name of the blow was Skag. Goddamn it, we was on Narding, Cascade, and hottest blow. Any motherfucker from that area tell you. Motherfucking so Skag was a motherfucker.
It took Pep 2 weeks to run through that first bag.
He bought us $50,000 in 2 weeks. He came back, and then he, as any good hustler would do, hey, it wasn't as good as it should have been told, all that bullshit. We already left in room to make money, so we already knew how good it was, what it was, as if, because we got niggas on the street besides you. So we already know what niggas pretty much doing. He was doing mixed jive at the time. So he was coming way off, and the dope was holding it. So he was King Allah, and the motherfucker knew that. And he happened to got lucky at that time. It might have took maybe about 3 days. We had another dude. Mary and them had came in from Thailand, all 20 of them. Them motherfuckers was over on Kentucky at the house throwing up like a motherfucker. Motherfuckers throwing up two keys. I ain't never seen nothing like that before in my life. I didn't even believe a motherfucker swallow two keys of dope and throw it back up. I never believed that until I seen them do it. And was the dope a motherfucker? Yes, it was. So we took motherfucking 40 keys from over on Kentucky. We put two motherfucking keys on every one key. So we had 120 keys. Each ounce sold for $8,500. Pep was taking that same ounce for $85 for mixed jive. He was putting a 50 on it. And it was walking the water, damn near ODing a motherfucker with a 50 on it. This real heroin coming straight out of Thailand. This ain't that bullshit you get in Detroit. For real. So we never really got anything. Like I said, the only motherfuckers that had any kind of dope like that was in the Eastern Market crew. I ain't seen no motherfucker from that day to this day that had that kind of dope in the city of Detroit. Not that I know. It might be there, but I don't know. That's how it happened. I can only tell how it happened.
The credibility is already sealed, man. Y'all the only niggas still talk about credibility. The whole fucking United States know this nigga is Eddie Jackson's son. And the whole fucking
you never know all of what a motherfucker did, though. That's the point me and Craig making.
I'll leave off.
Pep done came back. He done paid y'all off the $50,000 ticket. You say shortly thereafter, Wakefield crew had come in with another one. You said they brought in 40 bricks of the China White.
I said we took 40.
Y'all took 40. Come on, man. All right, Pepton came back. He done paid y'all the $50,000.
Coming from Boston.
From Boston.
Yeah.
2 weeks, he done moved his bag. You say a couple days after that, Wakefield and them came in with another hookup.
Yes, we had 120 keys now.
You took 40. Y'all hit it with a three.
Two. Each key, we took one key and made it three. So each key, we put a two on.
So now you got 120.
120 kilos.
And what y'all do?
Each ounce costs $8,500.
$8,500. And y'all got 120.
So we gave Pep another 50 quarters.
Okay.
He was already saying, you know, trying to fake a nigga. Like it wasn't the funk, like we didn't know the funk when we know the funk from way before we even gave it to him, we knew what the fuck it was. So anyway, we gave him another quarter and he fucking around talking shit and stuck his foot in some shit. He said, fuck it. It wasn't that good. I'ma go on over here on Cascade and Nardi and sell it. So he went over on Cascade and Nardi. Now we used to hang at Tracy Slade's house over in the basement. Me, Scott, all of us, Vinny. Everybody made across the street, all the hood, all of the brothers who was cool. Frank and all them brothers used to come by now and then. And that day, we over there getting high in the basement and shit. And, you know, we smoking weed, talking shit, because I hung, you know, with Scott and Tracy and them. It wasn't really about the hustle. I hung with them. That was, you know, a fan for real at that point, because Tracy and Lisa was like this. Yeah. So they was really like family.
Yeah.
So, okay, we hanging there, and that afternoon, Pep come in the basement after he, now, he said he gonna stay in Detroit instead of go to Boston because the dope wasn't as good as he thought it was. So he come in that afternoon, he look at me and say, Hobber, that's what Pep used to call me, he used to call me Hobber. I got 10,000, you want it? I said, you got 10,000 already? He said, yeah. I said, hell yeah, give me that 10 and get it out the street. You motherfucker tell you he got 10,000 of your money, he owe you 50 and he got 10. You better take it and get it out the motherfucker street. So I took it. Turn around. Now he did 10,000 that day. That was like the end of the day. He did 10,000 the first day. That's what he gave me, 10,000. The next day, he gave me 15,000.
And he gave you 25 in 2 days.
The next day, 20,000. The next day, 30,000. The name of the blow was Skag. It kept rising. Tepet was doing 50,000 a day. I used to pick up at Tracy's mother's house every day from Pep at the end of the day, $50,000. Now, he said the dope wasn't no good. He was staying in Detroit. And goddammit, he's selling more dope in Detroit than he sold in Boston. So goddamn, far as I know, at that point, far as I know, he said, fuck Boston. Because it was going down in motherfucking Detroit. He didn't go back to Boston no more. If he did, niggas may have came from Boston and got some dope and he sent them back. But Pep stayed here because of the kind of money he was making here. He was raking them. I mean, like I say. And this went on, I'm going to tell you, we had 120 keys. Remember, he did $10,000 the first day. He rose every day up to $50,000. It was two motherfucking police in the 10th precinct named Virgil and Red. They used to be a motherfucker. Young Yoda, Brian, and all them niggas used to be on the spot rolling. Them niggas was like, they was track stars on their motherfucking feet. Them niggas would hit from Cascade to Narnia and be on Leslie goddamn it, World Class Time and Scott Basement laughing at them
how
motherfuckers.
How far would it be?
Nigga, if you know the neighborhood, they was on Narnia Park and we was on Leslie.
About a quarter mile?
Maybe a little further. And these motherfuckers was running in world-class time. Brian was
Brian
a fucking
Putin.
Track star.
Brian
and
Putin.
Yoda was a fucking beat him there. Or Brian beat Yoda by maybe 60 seconds. And he a fucking track star from college. Yoda was on his motherfucker. Them motherfuckers was getting down. Money was rolling like a motherfucker. It wasn't no joke. It was going down. And any motherfucker AP was... Pep's man back then, I used to love AP. And it was going down. Bees was his man.
Now, question.
Fly
Guy Ty, who was shown in Pep's book, this, when he was coming to Detroit, was he,
Fly Guy Ty, from my memory, he got killed over at the Climax.
That's right.
At the club. He had got a new 325, and I don't know what happened with the situation, but from my recollection, he got killed over at the Climax, you know. Yeah, whatever happened at the Climax, or whatever happened at the Climax.
Oh, 7 Mile?
No, that was on the east side on Mount Elliott at that time, in Jefferson. That was on Mount Elliott in Jefferson.
Right across from King, track is.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, flying on out.
He was the first guy I ever heard use that term fly.
I remember when he had a thing in the club and the nigga.
He told me in the basement, at Tracy's basement. Junior! At tell them niggas in Boston and New York, nigga, when it comes to this dope game, murder game, any of that shit. That's how Fly talks. Fly came from Boston and
stayed
in Detroit. I had to tell him when it
because
comes
the money got good.
Did he used to ever be at your grandmother's house on the East Side?
You would have caught Fly guy.
You would
Tracy's
only catch
basement.
Him at Tracy's basement. Exactly. That's where that crew would be. You know, Pep's crew would only come to Tracy's house. So, you know, when you look back on it, it got to the point of I had to even suggest myself.
So Pep stayed across the street from Tracy.
Yeah, but once it got to a point to me, you know, I was just looking at things from the inside. And Pep was making a killing. And when I think of the name of his book, he was right. Everything he said, he was right. So I had to step up and say, Tracy got to get a bag. You know, and that really wasn't Tracy's thing, Pep. It was Pep's thing, so you can't blame Pep. You can't blame a nigga that's a hustler that's really wanted and a motherfucker give it to him and he go for it. I mean, he did what a real one's supposed to do in respect. Total honesty.
So, you know? Okay, so y'all doing y'all thing. Pep's starting to check in. You say he done worked it up. Now he up to $50,000 a day. He turned it into you.
We ran that from June to motherfucking late October, and we had a big Christmas party that year. Pep was a Christmas party. He had a thing about having a Christmas party. Every year he had to have a Christmas party. And on New Year's, he always had to wear a tuxedo. I never forgot that about him. Every New Year, Pep would wear a tuxedo, and he always had a Christmas party.
On the cover of his book, he wearing a tux.
That was his thing. And it wasn't bad. I don't knock that. He looked fly. You know, that was his thing. He just loved to wear a tuxedo for New Year. He always had a Christmas party. So, you understand, that was a good thing for him and all of that. It was wonderful.
So, okay. So, Pep Roller now, he turned it in 50 a day. And you see, that started about in June, and y'all ran that to
October.
And what happens then?
We was out. We ain't had shit. We was all running around. To be honest with you, what happened was, me, him, and Tracy got broke than a motherfucker. Well, me and Tracy was broke. I don't know about Pep, but we was broke than a motherfucker, and I assume Pep was broke than a motherfucker, too. Because we was jackers, goddamn. I'm telling you, money wasn't a motherfucking thing. So anyway, we got broke, and the skag ran out. The dope was so good, and I'm telling you honestly to this day and be honest with you. The dope was so good, we ran motherfucking dummies. Nigga for about 2 days and cleared us $50,000 selling nothing but motherfucking quinine, lactose, and dormas. Nigga, we made that skag name was so, and we burnt the name out. That's what you call it. To keep other niggas from fucking the name up, we burnt it. And that's how you burn it out. We burnt the name. That's what we did. We left with $50,000. Split it three ways. That's what we had. For about to almost summertime. So, you know, he was kind of catching hell that way.
I remember that summer.
Hit and miss, you know. And early that summer, Marion Wakefield, he was home. But Marion Wakefield had left over from that package. She might have had, we made about $100,000 off of what she had left. And then fucked around there. This was the end of that connect. She went back over to Thailand. Her and the 20 people. This, as I want to say to you and everybody I'm looking at, every story and everything that I'm telling you is pretty much in the newspaper. Everything I'm telling you, most of the stories is in the newspaper. It was all newspaper worthy. So, what happened was, Marion Wakefield went to Thailand with the 20 people. One of the 20 members was a dope fiend. She went in the bathroom and threw the motherfucking dope up, did the dope, OD. Now, when the plane landed, police came, took all Marion and the corpse off the plane, locked all of them in cells where when you use the bathroom, the toilet won't flush, and they won't release you from custody until you use the bathroom. You will not be released. I don't give a fuck if it's a week. After you use the bathroom and empty out your bowels and all of that, and they get that dope out of there and charge you, or they don't get nothing, then you go. But when that happens and they suspect you of swallowing dope and heroin coming in the country like that, they put you in a cell where the toilet don't flush and hold you until it passes through you. Because if you let it sit in you, it's going to kill you. So you got to get that shit out you and take the case. Or death, which one you choose, death or jail. take your pick. Marion Wakefield paid $250,000 bond and left the country and has never been seen again. The other 19 people got 20 years in Thailand sleeping on rice patties. This is their fate, and this is what they had to endure. They got 20 years in Thailand sleeping on rice patties. Marion Wakefield ran off and never was seen again because she had cancer and was
somewhat sick. So did the old man get a case off? He got a case off of
it? He didn't get shit off of it. I told you, the 20 motherfuckers on the airplane got the case.
So
he got caught with the dope.
So how did the Mexican thing come in?
He gonna get to that.
Yeah, see, that's the end of that. That's what I'm telling you.
We gotta go back to Simon, which is where he's at, because that will work. Because
I guess right after that, this is... got to be going on because the old man wasn't out long.
This was about a...
this is
19-month run.
This is...
19 months.
Exactly.
That's why I'm telling you, 80? The very...
Vision, Woody, man. His T-top Trans Am, the red vet. Y'all had already bought the 500 SEC.
That was after the vet.
That was after
the vet.
This is 82. 82.
No, 84, brother. This was when we was freshmen in college in the summer between our freshman and sophomore year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was then? The vet was then?
Yes.
Yes.
And the vet was our summer.
Hustling was
we went to
on.
Cool Jazz that summer, didn't we?
Yes,
we did.
Yes, we did.
I went with Pep, Tracy, me, Lisa, my mother, my sister, Dale, all of us went to the Cool Jazz that year.
That was
me, you, and him and Tracy.
We went out
the
next
year.
You remember when you were down at the Fair Building?
Yeah.
And we went to Cool Jazz right after that.
Yes, I did.
How many years later was that? That was
maybe 2 years.
After that?
After that. After we all went.
Okay.
That was 2 years after the vet. Cause see, Pep got the vet in the end. We gave Pep the vet because he was so crazy for it. Cause we had already ordered the 500 SEC, so it was like, fuck it. If he wanted, let him have it. And winter was coming, so we let Pep have the vet. He bought it. Fuck it. You want it? You want to buy it, or you want us to trade the shit in on the bins, or what? Cause we was through with it. It was hot. We had our fun in that.
You just got it.
We had our fun in that month. We drove to Cincinnati. That's what I'm telling you. I had a fucking ball in Cincinnati. I pulled up on the fucking DeLorean. Man, are you kidding me? Man, the fucking DeLorean came out looking at the vet. Now, he had everybody looking at the DeLorean until I pull up. Now, everybody run up to the vet. You know, I had a ball in Cincinnati in that motherfucker. I did Cincinnati like a motherfucker in that vet.
All right. Shit, so, all right. Y'all ran out of the skag. You find out Marion still got another $100 bag that y'all work about another $100,000 out of the bag. You done ran through, burnt out the skag name on the little dummy move for a couple of days. So
our next move, we went to New York for a minute to see what was happening up there. Wasn't nothing shaking. So then after that, we went to Mexico with a guy by the name of
Richard
Canales.
But what about the Eastern Market?
The Richard Canales,
Eastern Market.
The Eastern Market was after that.
Was after Mexico. Okay, I'm sorry. So continue. Y'all go to Mexico.
So at that point, we went to Mexico fucking with a Richard Canales. And dope was, it was class, 93% pure Mexican mud. I mean, it was a motherfucker. So we went down there and we got a sample first, got back. Then we went back to get it, all the motherfuckers, all hell broke loose. I mean, all hell broke loose. That was a disaster trip that never should have took place. So after all that shit went down, and my
father... Was it bad from the beginning?
It was bad. My father went back with Al Finch. Police jumped him on the way back in the country. My father was on parole, so he wasn't supposed to be out of the country in the first place. So now he's sweating. Are they going to take him to custody, or are they going to let it go? My mother telling him to tell his probation officer and just fuck it, eat it. He say, no, if the feds don't tell the police officer and don't tell my probation officer, I ain't. Let them tell him. So they played the cat and mouse game. Followed him, watched him for like another month. In that month, we fucked around and got with the Eastern Market crew. But at the same time, when he really went to fucking with them, he felt he wasn't hot. He had did his check to see if he was being followed. Didn't feel he was hot. So he went and started fucking with Simon and old man Joe at the Easter Market. About 2 weeks fucking with them. He was coming back from Troy or somewhere fucking with them. And he seen police everywhere. I'm talking about everywhere. I mean, helicopter following every motherfucking thing. He come in the house like a motherfucker, like, hey, check this out. I got to stay in motion. But we got to get rid of this shit now. We took the dope to Geneva. I took it. I took the handoff and shot to Geneva with the dope and put it up down in the building in our stash and hit it. So we sat on that for a while. We didn't do nothing for a while. For a little while, like 2-3 months. Then we was trying to finish. We was renovating our building on 277 Geneva. So we needed money for refrigerators and stove because we was finished. We was done with everything else. We had got new roof, carpet, plaster, everything. So all we needed now was refrigerators and stove for 22 units. And we got the feds all over us.
At this point, the investigating you had it down.
All over us. I just told you. So Bob Mueller was investigating us at this point. Bob Mueller was investigating us at this point. Wow. He was driving a gold drop-top K car. Conway Twitty was the lead officer, and Bob Mueller was on his team. Oh, yeah. All right, I would like you to hear the interview on Crime Time on Spotify with the actual FBI officer who actually investigated my father. So you can hear it from the actual officer who investigated him. I think that would be interesting. So anyway, in the interview, he says he was a school teacher and he wanted some action in his life. So he decided to become an FBI officer. And the first case he got was Eddie Jackson. That was the biggest case. He was an FBI officer for 32 years and his first case was his biggest case. And you know why that's true? In 32 years, he was an FBI officer for 32 years. He tell you this out of his own mouth. And his first case was his biggest case. You know why? Because this man wasn't no goddamn snitch. The rest for 32 years after that, probably all the motherfuckers he investigated wasn't nothing but snitch rat-ass motherfuckers. That's why it was so easy. Let's be honest about this. Niggas ain't men anymore. They need to put dresses on. That's why in 32 years, that was the biggest case he ever had. And if you listen at it, you'll hear a lot of interesting facts. Like when he went up to New York, following my father and him up there to bail Fairly out of jail, and the fat man waddled back there and laughed at him and sit down next to him and laughed and tell him, we gonna be seeing a lot of each other now, ha, ha, ha. So he knew the FBI was on him from fucking day one. But he had such a strong thing from Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, that was his heroes. Those are the people he was following. He was an actual Black Panther. My father gave $50,000 at a time to the Shrine of Black Madonna to the Black Panthers. So we was with the Black movement. For any motherfucker who want to say we wasn't, we put our money behind any motherfucking thing we felt about it. Malcolm X was our hero. Anytime Malcolm had something and my father went to it, he gave money. He wasn't just a nigga out here getting money and didn't give back to the community. Because let's make this shit real. Everybody getting high. Are you knocking the Purdue's now that they done strung all of America out on Oxycontin? Do I see any of them going to jail or anything bad being said to or about them? So I don't want to hear that bullshit. Take it where the real ones is getting the real money from. Look at what the fuck the Purdue's clocked. Mad money, and look at how society look. So who fucked up society now and got everybody wilding around like dope fiends? Was it Eddie Jackson? He dead and gone. Now why the whole fucking America strung out on opioids and we ain't sold a damn? That's for all motherfuckers who got anything negative to say. Take it to the Purdue's because they got the whole country fucked up right now today.
Now
If you want to make a motherfucking difference, tell them, because they got your people and everybody fucked up thinking it's cool to drop heroin pills. Oh, they fell for that shit. You dropping what the fuck we were selling in pill form and fell for it. Now you got all these motherfuckers strung out. I don't hear nobody making bad people out of them. Let's see how many of them get motherfucking locked up. The first time I was ever introduced to the media, I was 4.5 years old. And I was riding my mini bike. And I was riding my mini bike down the sidewalk through the little empty lot we had and come around. There was a news photographer photographing me as I ride my mini bike. And I had my thing timed, you know, because he looked intimidating to me. And I wonder why a motherfucker is taking pictures of me. So I saw that and I rolled on around and I had my thing timed where I used to have two remote controls. One in my pocket that would open the swinging back, the swinging fence that let me in. Then I just drove like a car. I drove, pushed the button. When I came out the lot, I hit the button so the fence would be there, there open. By the time I got there, ride in, and when I rolled in, I hit the motherfucking button and closed it, rolled in the garage, hit the goddamn button. Now I'm in the newspaper for doing just that. They found that such impressive. They wrote about that in the newspapers. It's there. If you read it.
April 15th,
everybody talked about that. Look at it in the newspaper. Riding the mini bike with a remote control and doing this. And it was a big
April
thing.
April 15th, 1973.
So, you know, it was always there. Time for a while ago. That's the little boy that was in the newspaper right there riding the mini bike. That was a big thing to them back then. It was I was 5 years old, man. So I've been exposed to the media and all this bullshit just like after we got indicted. I'm running like a motherfucker out the federal building, covering up, running like
but
a
now
motherfucker.
Now you're talking about when you are older, back in the 80s.
Well, I was 16.
16.
I was 16.
And once again, that was, wasn't that about when the case hit, wasn't that about Thanksgiving? As I remember.
It was after Thanksgiving. It was that summer. See, because before you, when you're actually getting indicted, let me explain to everybody. So let me tell you something else so you'll know when you're getting indicted. When you're about to get indicted, they send you papers that'll be coming from the Eastern District of Michigan. And it'll have your name on it, say Eddie Jackson Jr. versus the state of Michigan. This is a grand jury hearing going on in, figuring out if they finna indict your ass. And after grand jury come back, then they come out, grab your ass at 6 o'clock in the morning, you've been indicted. But all while the grand, that summer, me and my mother, because my father was in jail at this point, me and my mother kept getting these goddamn letters like that, you know. Octorina Jackson against the state of Michigan, Eastern
U.S.
District.
Government.
Eastern District. That's how they say it. It's U.S. government. So you get these all summer. And then when they come, boom, you figure out after you get indicted what the fuck they was. What the fuck is they sending me this shit for? You don't know then that these you're in the process of being indicted. You're getting, every time a grand jury holds a hearing about indicting you, they send you a copy of the proceedings. But they don't tell you what the fuck it's about. They just say you versus the state of Michigan or whatever state you may be in is how they do it. So that's how you realize after you get indicted. I've been getting indicted all motherfucking summer long. Every time I got one of these motherfuckers.
The grand jury would have been convened all that summer.
That whole summer. So then they pulled me and my mother in 6 o'clock that morning. Goddamn. Moving towards the winter, like I said. So anyway... Moving right on along, that's just a little as I'm going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to tell you exactly how the shit go. I'm going to tell you how you know if a motherfucker snitching. Because I'm going to tell you what the police do if you ain't motherfucker snitching. The game don't change. Never fucking forget this. The game don't change from Eddie Jackson getting busted in the way they motherfucking treat me and I don't tell. Do you get special motherfucking treatment after you get caught and you go to jail? You don't get the same harsh motherfucking treatment I get because you in there telling and snitching your motherfucking way out. So the first way you gonna know if a nigga come out snitching and telling his motherfucking way out because he ain't gonna be the dick. Just come out like he ain't did shit. Half of these motherfuckers won't even tell you so they can set you up to go to jail. This the game these niggas playing now, man. I've been indicted, I'm in trouble, and I don't want nobody to know. It's a secret. What's the motherfucking secret? Oh, now you running around flipping, trying to bust every motherfucking body. That's the secret. When a nigga go to jail and don't want you to know, you better watch out. If you doing anything or any way connected to that nigga, you better watch out. Shit, you know, motherfucker going to jail and you just get out for nothing. We win, cost us an arm and two legs to get the fuck out of here. You go and you just come home like you've been at Disney World some motherfucking where. Okay. Shit. The fuck is this? This ain't motherfucking Disney World or Candyland or Boy Scout Retreat or whatever the fuck you want to call it. This just wanted to make my brother Courtney Jr. laugh because me and my father laughed about this shit. We failed the fuck out laughing, smoking weed about this shit. Now, my father, if you look at that interview from, like I told you, Spotify Crime Time, he'll tell you the dope was so good. When the police raided the house on Hubble, my father threw the dope up and goddamn everybody was throwing up high. Fucked up. And they, see, the part he left out on there, they whooped my father's ass for that shit, too. Remember that part. He took an ass whooping for throwing that shit up there like that, too, and having all them officers throwing up and shit. He got a good ass whooping for that. But here's what to make Junior laugh, just to make him think and laugh. Now, Courtney Brown is in the house with the most notorious selling dope motherfucker damn near in a lifetime. He done just got busted with some shit that if you just throw it up in the air and smell it, you throw it up in high. Now, the fat man's crew, all of them, all rolled Cadillacs. The way you knew if you was with Eddie Jackson's crew, you was riding a new Cadillac, goddammit. Yeah. And he bought them and traded them every 6 months. God damn it, when the year changed, the crew had to have new Cadillacs. The crew motherfucker couldn't ride 71 Cadillacs or 72. The motherfucking crew had to have 72 Cadillacs. In 73, we can't ride 72. We got to have 70 motherfucking 3 Cadillacs. So the Eddie Jackson crew was known for driving Cadillacs. It was their trademark of anything. Now, here's his right-hand man, Courtney Brown. He been caught in Hubble with goddamn record amounts of heroin. At this time, the biggest bust and one of the biggest busts still to this day. You in the house with Eddie Jackson. Now, he want to be undercover and smooth and slide around. So he goes and buy. This is the first year. I never forget this. We laugh about this shit forever. He goes and buy a Volkswagen Rabbit hatchback, powder blue with white seats. The first year this motherfucker came out and said he's undercover. You know what the motherfucking police, I'ma tell you exactly what happened. Now the rest of the crew riding Cadillacs. He's the only one in the crew that's not riding Cadillacs because he wants to be down low, think don't nobody know who the fuck he is, and you just got caught in the house with all this goddamn shit. So you might as well ride Rolls Royces, Cadillacs, Bentleys, and all the shit you can, because you're going to motherfucking jail. But he wants to be on the down motherfucking low. So he's riding this powder blue rabbit thinking he cool. He then took the goddamn dope and put the dope in the gas. You know when you open the little gas thing and the dope go in there? Who you think got him? The feds instantly. And you know what they told him? You look out of fucking place. You should have been riding a fucking Cadillac and we probably wouldn't have stopped you. Yes. That shit had us falling on the floor. We fell out forever about that shit. When the police, the FBI's told him, we knew you was doing something because you riding a goddamn rabbit. That's how they busted him. That's how he caught his second case. He had the case in Hubble, and then he got caught in the goddamn rabbit from riding the goddamn rabbit. If he'd have been riding the Cadillac, he probably wouldn't even got stopped. He riding a fucking rabbit, a powder blue.
He talking about pop.
Oh, man.
I remember that Volkswagen. It was. They just came out. That's a true story.
Now, we laughed about that shit because we said that's what got him busted. Here it is. You just left out the house with this motherfucker. He driving Rolls Royces. I mean, he just got him busted.
And you live next door to the man.
Thank you. And you going to go buy a rack and say you undercover.
Okay,
we're going to take the cover off you real quick. Shit, the feds kept that rabbit. I never did see that rabbit.
Never saw it again.
Never seen it again. The feds left with that motherfucker. Yeah, they kept it. What you thought? You thought you were going to get caught with some dope like that and they ain't going to give you the car back? See, that's the sign of a snitch. That's what snitches do.
That's
what snitches get.
But they could have gave it back to
nigga,
Brad.
And it's paid for.
No, it's gone.
That's what snitches get. You riding a paid-for car, so you get caught with dope and heroin. You think the police going to give you that car back if you ain't a snitch?
Ain't going to happen.
Kiss my ass. Was and what he was doing,
I forgot about that part of Blue Rabbit.
I'm telling you, that's some funny shit. Don't get no funnier, bro. That shit there, I